that way, I would feel much closer to you as well. Please, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ahsantum. Our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Ana wa Ali abawaha li hadhihi al-ummah. I and Ali are the fathers of this ummah. I and Ali are the fathers of this ummah. The title of fatherhood is not something which is easily merited, but we see in which way Ali ibn Abi Talib was, that he indeed merits this title of being the father of the Ummah. A compassionate person who is absolutely tolerant, who is compassionate of the shortcomings of the people, and who would persist in trying to impart in every way goodness towards the people. In certain of his khutbahs, he states, O people of Kufa, I spend a whole day trying to straighten you. The whole day I try spending in straightening you, yet by the evening you are bent as bows once again. You are bent as bows once again. You do not gain in the least from me. In another place it's stated where he says, I am the one most oppressed. I am the one most oppressed of all the oppressed men. And this is true. This is true to an extent in which Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman were respected. This respect was not given to Ali ibn Abi Talib. This respect was not given to Ali ibn Abi Talib in his time. The primary reason for this was Ali ibn Abi Talib's compassion itself. The reason why Ali ibn Abi Talib did not get the respect was his compassion itself. He said, it is because I do not oppress you. It is because I do not oppress you that you feel at ease to oppress me. Because I do not oppress you, you feel at ease to oppress me. At a time when Umar had set a precedence of terrorizing people, we find this in books of history scattered over the pages, that people dared not even speak in front of Umar because his whip was seen as to be more severe than the wrath of the sharp end of the sword of Shaddad. This is the whip of Umar. This is how brutal this man's anger and behavior was in trying to bring people to believe in what he believed was right. It was almost as if it was a state of terror at that time. We will look at an example as we elaborate so that we can see how beautiful this master of ours merits the title the father of the Ummah. In fact, when the Prophet would say, Ali is the father of those without fathers, Ali is the father of those who do not have fathers, we hear that the children began to pray, O Allah, take away our fathers. O Allah, take away our fathers, so that Ali ibn Abi Talib may be termed as our father. Such was the love in the hearts of those who knew him. At the death of the Prophet, when Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, and the point here is not to make a comparison or to weigh Imam Ali in front of Abu Bakr and Umar, but just to see and try to understand the beauty of Amirul Mu'mineen beyond the mere attribution of miracles, which we talked about the day before yesterday. To try to see Ali ibn Abi Talib beyond the mere attribution of miracles as people who are human beings. as a person who is a human being and an insan.
Abu Bakr sent Khalid bin Walid to the outskirts of Medina
to collect taxes. And you may have read this. People refused to pay the taxes.
Khalid bin Walid waged a war against people. He killed the people and extracted taxes by force from them. Even so that
at that very night,
he married the widow of the chief
who he had killed earlier
in the day.
And all the other things that took place against the dictates of Islam.
This
is the state at the time of Abu Bakr. And when people went to lodge their complaints to Abu Bakr, he said, "Ask Umar." They said, "Well, who is the ruler?" He said, "Inshallah, it is Umar." We are just saying and looking at the state that was there at the time before Imam Ali.
Imam Ali, when he dispatches his tax collectors, he states to them before they go, and look how beautifully the words of Amirul Mu'mineen come out. He states to the tax collectors and prepares them. And he says to them, "Go to the people. When you approach them where they generally gather to water their animals, when you see them from afar, come down from your mounts, lest anyone perceives you that you are coming in a state of hostility." Allahu Akbar. "Lest anyone perceives you that you are coming in a state of hostility. Calmly walk to them. Greet them and say that Amirul Mu'mineen sends his salams to you. Ask them, if there is any due in your wealth, then direct me to your houses. If there is any due in your wealth, then direct me to your houses. If they refuse to answer, then leave their village. If anyone says that they have the due of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the poor people in their wealth, then go with them with humility to their houses. When you go there and when they present the livestock in front of you, then tell them, 'Oh man, split this in half. Split this in half.' When they split it in half, then tell the owner, 'You select one half and leave the other half.' When he selects the better half, tell him to split the other half. Tell him to select the better one for himself. And then split the remainder until you arrive at that in which there is the rightful due of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have the rightful due of Allah, turn to the owner and say, 'Are you pleased that I take this away from you? Are you pleased that I take this away from you?' If he nods his head in agreement, then take it. If he nods, then take it. If he refuses and shows his displeasure, then mix all the animals together once again and start this process all over from the beginning once again. Until the owner is pleased, do not take anything from the owner." Allahu Akbar. "Until the owner is pleased, do not take anything from him." Allahu Akbar. Where do you find such people? Why would he not merit the status of a father when he displays such beauty in his character? He is the one who says in the Nahjul Balagha, and you have heard this, and perhaps read this, "I would much rather stand on thorns all night long. I would much rather stand on thorns all night long and be dragged on my face than to be brought in front of Allah and Muhammad Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah in a state that I have any injustice against my people." This is Ali. This is Ali. Where are those leaders? And where is the father of the people? Who can compare to Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi alayhi? we find him as he mobilizes his people. He says, O people, for the sake of Allah, advance. For the sake of Allah, advance. Do you not see the injustices that are being carried out in the land? What had happened was that Muawiyah's insurgents had walked into the lands of the Muslims and had transgressed against a Jewish woman. And this complaint was lodged with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he had become outraged that how can a subject of mine be transgressed upon? How can a subject of mine be transgressed upon? He said, O people, in my younger days, I competed with the nobles and the knights and the gallant warriors of the Arabs. In my younger days, I competed with them. Today, with this white beard, I shall walk again and face these people. With this white beard today, once again, I shall face these people. At that point, he broke into tears and he cried at length as he said, Where is Malik Yashtar? Where is Kambar? Where are my noble companions? At that point, he said, Indeed, Malik was to me as I was to Rasulullah. Indeed, Malik was to me as I was to Rasulullah. Then he complained at all the grief that the Ummah had given to him. Look at his beautiful sense of justice and his sense of humanity and his sense of compassion. By Allah, the greatest miracle of Allah are Muhammad and Ali. They are indeed the greatest miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah would not have revealed the Quran, then Muhammad Rasulullah would have spoken out the Quran. This was the caliber and the position of Muhammad. And if Allah had not explained the Quran, Ali's actions would have explained the Quran thoroughly. Ali's actions would have explained the Quran thoroughly. These are the greatest products of nature and of Mother Nature and of mankind. We asked ourselves the other day, and we ask again, what is the merit of resurrecting the dead? What is the merit in resurrecting the dead? What is the merit in cleaving the moon in two? What merit is there in controlling even the whole of the universe? Shall breaking the moon bring us to a better level of humanity? Shall breaking the moon make us better human beings? Shall resurrecting the dead make us more wholesome as human beings and complete? Will those miracles restore justice on the earth? Will they rid of oppression? Will they remove poverty? Will they fill the hungry bellies of the poor people? Look at the beauty of Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he utters any word, it is as if it has been picked from the arsh of Allah and placed upon the tongue of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We talked about the Nahjul Balagha yesterday. As if the words are picked from none but the arsh of Allah and put on the tongue of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Look at the accuracy with which he does things. When he is at the battlefield of Siffin, he finds that Muawiyah and his people have captured the Furat and that they are preventing Imam Ali's soldiers from reaching the Furat. This used to be a common tactic of warfare in those days. Malik Yashtar goes and removes Muawiyah's forces from the banks of the Euphrates. And he says to Ali, O master, if you wish, we can retain control of the Euphrates and Muawiyah will submit. The Imam replies and says, Never, never. It is their God-given right to drink from that water. It is their God-given right to drink from that water. Let them have access. We will say, O master, do you not look on? Do you not look on how they have prevented your Sakina from quenching her thirst? These very people to whom you are giving water to today, look how they shall deal with your own progeny tomorrow. Indeed, Ali is the father of the people. Indeed, Ali is the father of the Ummah. And when the arbitration was forced upon him in Siffin, it was a compulsion upon the Imam to agree to their arbitration. But once the arbitration was done, even if it was wrong, the Imam upheld it.